This is giving me a headache.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's getting a little frustrating trying to figure out what the government is up to here. Remember the Treasury said at first it would buy mortgage-backed securities with the bailout money? Then it said it wouldn't? Well, now the Fed is going to do it instead. The Fed says it will buy up to $500 billion worth of those awful securities, hoping to get home loans going again. At the same time, the Treasury will focus on other kinds of loans, car loans, credit cards. Hank Paulson will detail that plan in a few minutes. We're joined by economist Bernard Baumol. Bernard, let's start with this idea of trying to boost consumer credit. How important is that to the economy?
This is absolutely critical because we are now in a race against time. We have seen the crash of mortgage-backed securities, and if the economy continues to deteriorate, and if the banking sector continues to suffer significant losses, we're going to see major reductions in the availability of credit on credit cards, on student loans, on auto loans. And if the securities that are backed by these sorts of assets begin to fall dramatically as well, then banks are just not going to make that money available. And that would mean that the economy would suffer a much more serious, much more prolonged downturn.
But isn't that how we got here? Too much credit available for people who can't afford the car they're buying or the house they're buying or whatever they're buying?
Well, for the last couple of years, that has certainly been one of the problems. But what we have seen from discussions with the leaders within the financial community is that they're now taking significant reforms. They're being much more careful, much more prudent. Right now, there's virtually no credit available in some markets. And if that were to continue, there's no way that this economy can come back.
And one more thing on this buyout of mortgages from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. What influence do you think that'll have?
Well, that's difficult to say. We are looking desperately for any kind of sign that the economy is beginning to respond to some of these programs. And we haven't yet seen it, to be honest. About the best that can be said about the housing market is that at least we're seeing the inventory of unsold homes begin to either stabilize or come down. So maybe, you know, the hemorrhaging has stopped in housing, partly because of all of the funding that and the stimulus that that the Treasury has done with the banking sector.
Economist Bernard Baumol with the Economic Outlook Group. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, Scott.
We got the latest reading on the economy this morning. GDP shrank 0.5% in the third quarter. That's about what was expected, so Wall Street's okay with it. The Dow is up 93 points to 8537. The NASDAQ is flat so far. S&P 500 up 11 points. European shares are about 2% higher so far, and there were gains in Asia as well today. Just about every industry is struggling with the financial fallout. Today, Borders is expected to announce a rough sales quarter. And book publisher Houghton Mifflin says it's going to stop buying new books. More from Stacey Vanek Smith.
This winter is bringing a lot of discontent to the book business. Last week, Barnes & Noble announced quarterly sales were down 4.5%. Rival Books A Million saw its sales drop nearly 10%.
This is going to be a really tough time out there for booksellers.
Analyst Michael Norris is with Simba Information, an industry research firm. He says people are spending less in general, but booksellers are taking a double hit because mass discounters like Walmart and Costco have gotten more aggressive about offering the titles that were bookstores' bread and butter.
The whole idea that a best-selling book or a blockbuster book can draw in bookstore traffic kind of becomes a bit of a wash. You can get it while you're picking up, you know, socks and underwear. You can get it while you're picking up eggs and cheese.
Last year, Americans spent more than $50 billion on books, and Norris says bookstores will get a boost for the holidays. But he says more and more of those titles will be picked up outside of bookstores. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, November 25th on Marketplace.org. In this economic climate, how can you justify one of the world's biggest takeovers? Well, you can't, and neither can mining company BHP Billiton. Today, it dropped a $66 billion bid for its rival Rio Tinto. We're joined by economist Bob McKee in London. Bob, is this just a case of bad timing?
Well, the merger bid has been dragging on for some time, and during that period of time, we've seen a collapse in the commodity prices around the world. So BHP decided that the likely revenues they're going to get from this merger just don't warrant the huge cost and organization that will be involved in pursuing this bid.
I imagine that steel companies are pretty happy that this merger didn't happen. They were very opposed to it. Why?
Well, clearly what would happen then, they'd have one big supplier that they'd have to go to, and the cost of raw materials could rise quite sharply in an environment where they're beginning to see their customers disappear as well. Shipbuilders cutting back, motor car companies in deep trouble. The prospects for steel companies are very bad, and if it meant that they can also face quite sharp price increases, that would put them in a difficult position. So at least they've got some different suppliers to go to try and get the best price.
Bob McKee, chief economist at Independent Strategy in London. Thank you.
Okay.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce goes forward today with a campaign about unions. It wants to accentuate the things that are worse in union states. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch explains.
The U.S. Chamber report is titled Responding to Union Rhetoric. Chief author Randall Johnson says the report is being released ahead of an Obama administration that's likely to be sympathetic to unions.
Preemptive strike, that's probably too strong of a word, but it's our effort to make sure our side of the story gets out there.
The report attacks the widely accepted statistic that wages have not kept up with increased worker productivity. It adds up salary, benefits, and retirement contributions and finds that total compensation has in fact kept pace.
It's phony. That's not the way that anybody in the non-Alice in Wonderland world would do it.
Jonathan Tessini is with Labor Research Association. He says economists for decades have tracked productivity with wages, not total compensation. The U.S. Chamber's response?
Unions tend to drive up wages higher than productivity levels justify.
Johnson says the Detroit automakers are uncompetitive in part because of high union wages. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Time for What's the Fix, our series of solutions for the economy. Commentator Jeff Madrick says there's one thing that would fix a lot of problems: better pay for the average worker.
We've had a wage crisis in America for 35 years. One number tells it all. The typical man in his 30s today earns less after inflation than a man in his 30s did in the 1970s. The main reason typical family incomes have risen at all over the past 30 years is that women have gone to work. The wage crisis is a big reason why Americans borrow so much. It's a big reason why rising health care costs are so painful, why a growing number of mortgages end in default. And it's a big reason why Americans want their taxes cut even more. Can government make a difference? Yes. Here are some of the things the new administration and Congress must do. Enforce labor laws vigorously. Raise the minimum wage regularly. Enable unions to organize without undue and often illegal management interference. Invest aggressively in transportation infrastructure and energy alternatives. Make sure the Federal Reserve balances concerns about inflation with worries about jobs. Stop raising interest rates every time there's a wage hike. And encourage the president to call it as it is when CEOs make outrageous salaries while their workers' incomes are declining. My gut is the new president is up to this agenda, but the hard work won't be over once the economy is back on track.
Jeff Madrick researches economic policy at the New School. His book is called The Case for Big Government. What's your fix? Share it with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.